finding the morning papers is hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in, it's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on phone radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the National Intel Report with your special guest host, Michael Herzog, standing in for John Statmiller, who is ailing a little bit today. He's got a little bit of a problem that we're worried about. Nothing serious, I hope, but he's out. So I'm taking over for him for first hour today. So anyway, I want to make a couple of announcements, then I got a guest coming up. This guy is an interesting guest. I'm a pilot. He's a pilot. How about that? So we'll commiserate a little bit on that. His name is Rob Balsamo, and he is with www.pilots4911truth.org. So we'll hear from him in about 7 minutes. Meantime, I want to announce that this pledge drive that we're on, we're still on the pledge drive. Those of you who heard my show, I mentioned the top of every hour. I want to thank Joy, sent $50. Lianne, $100 from Florida. Thomas, $70 from North Carolina. Eddie, $100 from Texas. R.R. Hernandez, $30 from Austin. William, $100 from Tennessee. Charles Althaus, $300, Pennsylvania. Ross in Minnesota, $50. Tim in New York, $100. John in California, $50. Dayton in L.A., $5. Judith in New York, $50. George Wooten in Arizona, $200. Kent in West Virginia, $10. James Woods in Pennsylvania, $100. And Candace in Tennessee, $100. Now, this pledge drive, you're going to hear us barking about this, folks, until these back bills are paid, and we're on the way to do it, but we still need your help. We still need you to dig down and pull up some money. If you can only afford $10, fine. Those business owners out there that can afford to write a check for $1,000, $2,000, or whatever, okay, and write it off, it's time to dig down and do it. They need your help here, okay? And I want you to think about how good you feel once you do it. Because if you're one of those that's sitting out there that's still on the line that hasn't done it yet, you got this little thing in your gut going, oh, my gosh, I don't know, blah, 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 blah. Write the check, okay? Send it to 1015 South Mays Street, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or get on the web, republicbroadcasting.org. Go to PayPal, send in your donation. You'll feel a lot better because, as you know, those people that listen to this network, we bring you valuable information. We're fighting the fight, and we're even winning some battles here. You're helping us, okay? Got to keep this network going, folks. This, Ron Paul, and you. It's the only thing we've got, and then we're going to win our country back with this. Moving right along, the hate crime bill, Ted Pike. I guess they're going to vote on that tomorrow. You want to call? It's not over yet. Supposedly George Bush is going to veto it, but I wouldn't believe him. So let's just play it safe. Let's call the White House at 1-202-456-1111 and leave this message. Thank you, Mr. President, for promising to veto the hate bill. I expect you to also reject any modified hate crime legislation. Again, call the president. Leave a message. Lambaste him. 1-202-456-1111. On the subject of the truckers, this was sent from Wanda Piety, and she's organizing a conference call for 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on May the 10th to discuss the news on the upcoming truckers rally that we're organizing. So for you people that have called in or you people that have emailed and you're still wondering what happened to that, it hasn't gone away. It's still there. We're still working on it, even though we haven't announced it every day. Believe me, folks, we're behind the scenes working, and that's one more reason why you need to dig down in your pocket and send them some money to get their bills paid up. Okay, the audio conference call dial-in number. Get your pens and paper. I'll give you 10 seconds. You want me to hum a tune while I'm doing it? No, I better not do that. The audio conference call dial-in number for this trucker's truck out is the dial-in number 507-726-3200. Again, that's 507-726-3200. The passcode is 42595. That's 42595. We'll be back in three. This is Michael Herzog, standing in for John Statmiller, republicbroadcasting.org. Stick with me.
World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog's sitting in for an ailing John Stadtmiller, hopefully. I know he's listening, so hopefully you'll feel better shortly, my friend. Didn't know it, was just told this just about 10 minutes ago, but we have a guest, and I'm excited about this guy because he is a pilot. Who is involved? He's on pilotsfor911truth.org. Again, that's pilotsfor911truth.org. And me being a pilot, I can't wait to talk to this guy and kind of compare notes. Without any further ado, let's go to Rob Balsamo. Rob, are you on with Michael? Hello, Rob.
Me on. It's unfortunate John couldn't make it, but it's a pleasant surprise. I'm on with another pilot.
How about that?
Yeah. Talk a little shop.
Yeah, right. No, I was excited. They just told me about this about 10 minutes ago. I said, oh, yeah, pilot. Matter of fact, I've been into your website and, you know, perused around it a little bit. Right. I guess we want to talk a little pilot about the way those planes went into the buildings or...
Well, yeah, we received... the organization started back in... August of last year. I just started, quote-unquote, waking up and starting my research May of last year.
Really?
Yeah, and Glenn Stanish and I, who's a 737 first off, I got to watch that I don't get too technical and talk too much shop now that I'm
737, twin engine.
Yeah, 737FO, first officer for Continental Airlines.
Okay.
And We decided, hey, why don't we, you know, Scholars has this, why don't we start up a pilots because I know a lot of pilots out there have a lot of questions. So we started it up, and now we, you know, a few short months, well, almost a year later, we're up to over 50 members now, and we have some heavy hitters on the site. If everybody goes to the list of members on the left-hand margin at the homepage,
I'm in there. Yes.
Yeah, we have lieutenant colonels, we have people from all four branches of the military service, F-16 fighter pilots, everything from JetBlue captains to right down to private pilots.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, really, I am so excited to have you on there because I have told people, you know, now, first of all, let me give you a little bit of my background.
Okay.
I'm not an airline pilot. I was in business, and I used an airplane, and actually I had two airplanes in my business. One of them was 6784 Romeo, which was a Cessna 210, and also 55
nice.
Bravo Whiskey, which was a Twin Aero Commander. And
very
I used to use it for business, and I know a couple of pilots, airline pilots, that you know, just love to borrow my airplane.
Yeah, I'd like to as well.
Yeah, but anyway, ironically, I've told people, even in my little airplane, you know, this story about the cell phones at 30,000 feet just doesn't fly because I can't make a cell phone call above 5,000 feet in my plane.
Yeah, that's correct. And as a matter of fact, we're getting conflicting information. I know this new book by David Ray Griffin that came out had an excerpt in it about American 77 was supposedly only had did not have seatback airphones.
Mm-hmm.
So that means all calls would have had to have been made from cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
However, he did post a retraction. I didn't get a chance to read through it thoroughly, but he made some type of mistake there. But it still doesn't negate the fact that there were calls, some calls made from cell phones that is reported. Renee May, for instance, like I said, we have the flight data recorder information from this flight from the NTSB. And based on the time that she was supposed to make this call, which was at 9:12 that morning, she was at 24,000 feet from a cell phone. I have never in my career had cell phone service, nor do I know any crew members that I've ever had. I mean, there's been times where I've taken off, where we've blasted off, and I forget to turn off my cell phone. And then we'll be shooting the approach at the destination, and my voice message will go off. And I mean, even one time we almost went around because of it, because we're wondering what that noise was, you know. So,
well, the only word I have for them is not. You know, but you know, I'm already getting callers on the line with this one. But another one I want to throw out at you, okay?
Sure.
Because this is, you know, it just amuses me. Now, what do you fly? You fly 737, Rob?
No. Right now, currently, I'm not working for the airlines. I'm having some health issues, as a matter of fact, where I've grounded myself. But I'm still current and everything with the FAA,
mm-hmm.
and I've just done it temporarily. For now, I used to work for Independence Air. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they were the largest carrier out of Washington Dulles. Prior to that, the carrier's name was Atlantic Coast Airlines, and we used to fly in Delta colors and United colors. We were a regional feed for both United and Delta. As a matter of fact, we were the largest regional feed for United.
Oh, no, I was curious as to what your ratings were, what you flew.
Oh yeah, I flew the Dornier 328 jet. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I've heard the name. I haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a picture of it in the forums, but so it's a small regional jet. I've flown everything from that aircraft down to, you know, pretty much what you fly, Bonanzas, Barons. Don't have any time in a Twin Commander, though. I would like to.
Lovely airplane. Fly really well on one engine. But listen, here's the question I have for you.
Okay? Sure.
Because this one just cracks me up, all right? Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe it was a 757 or a 767 that was supposed to have hit the Pentagon?
757.
All right. Now, you tell me from a pilot's point of view, being you're jet-rated, okay,
mm-hmm.
Can a 757 make a 270-degree turn at 500 miles an hour and go in and hit the Pentagon the way it did
Well, see, here's the thing, Mike. With the updated information, I don't know if you've had a chance to watch our film yet, Pandora's Black Box Chapter 2.
No, actually, I haven't.
But, yeah, we have that documentary out. You could see it on Google Video. We also have the DVD available, trying to raise funds for research, further research. But we have the full animation from the NTSB based on that flight.
Okay.
From what they claim is that flight. And we go through it in detail. As a matter of fact, the altitude, when you get to the end of record, it doesn't even show it impacting the building, this animation that the NTSB provided. It stops 1 second prior to impact over Highway 27, mm-hmm. Route 27 there,
mm-hmm.
and it stops at 480 feet above that highway, 1 second prior to impact.
Right.
So, the poles... The light poles, the five light poles that were claimed to have been brought down by American 77,
right,
only reach up to 44 feet plus 40 feet.
Well,
so
you know,
84 feet.
But Rob, Rob, then let me rephrase the question. Okay.
Sure.
Let us call you a psychopath with a death wish, and you stole your Dornier 328, and you were flying at 500 miles an hour, 3 feet off the ground. As a pilot, with all of the hours and all of the technical training you have, could you do it?
Take me several tries. I'll tell you that. There is information out there that's old. That was the 270 maneuver that you brought up.
Right.
That's kind of outdated information. The information that the NTSB provided, and actually they provided it back in January of 2002, and it was in the 9/11 Commission report. It was actually a 330-degree maneuver.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah,
oh.
And it was west of the Pentagon. Now, the old information out there has, we still don't know which one is 100% accurate, and I don't think we ever will. But we have all these questions, and they're not answering them. The fact of the matter is that the official reports, NTSB, National Transportation Safety Board, FBI, and 9/11 Commission report, they all report this maneuver as coming in from the west, and then three and a half, depending on which report you look at, 3.5 to 5 miles southwest of the Pentagon, it started a 330-degree right turn. And when you look at the turn, it's uneventful. It really is. As a matter of fact, it looks somewhat professional. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's less than 300 knots. Makes this gradual, graceful, no extreme banks or anything through this. Like somebody knows how to fly this airplane. Unlike Hani Hanjour,
I was just going to say
that couldn't fly a 172.
Right.
And his instructors were telling people and reporting that, you know, he couldn't even understand what the instruments were there to do. So I have no idea how he controlled this aircraft. Now, it goes through this 330-degree maneuver gracefully,
mm-hmm.
smoothly, coordinated. And then when it rolls out on its final leg, it's about a five-mile leg direct to the Pentagon, it rolls out, and you got to see this yoke movement. As a pilot, you'll pick it up right away that whoever is controlling this aircraft really knows how to fly this aircraft.
Well,
just by looking at the yoke movement.
Let me just ask you your opinion, okay? In
sure.
your opinion, was there a pilot in this plane or was it remote?
I wouldn't even begin to speculate on that. I don't know.
Okay. Well, you know, the pilot, if there was a pilot in the plane, he had to have a death wish. But you as a pilot know, and I as a
That's
pilot.
That's if the aircraft hit the Pentagon. And as the information that we have from the NTSB right now as it stands, this airplane's not hitting the Pentagon. And that's from the flight data recorder, that they say is from the flight data recorder. Now, one argument out there is that the flight data, how could the plane not hit the Pentagon if the flight data recorder was found in the Pentagon? And it's a good argument.
Mm-hmm.
However, the flight data recorder was found 2 days later, okay, and the reports state that they found three different black boxes. Well, last time I checked, these airliners only carry two. There's another report. One of our forum members put an excellent post up with this research on regarding where they found the flight data recorder. One report says it's found at the entrance hall. Another one says it's found at the exit hole.
Okay, I gotta stop you here, Rob. We gotta take a break, and I'm gonna go to a caller when we get back. Okay.
Sure.
This is Michael Herzog sitting in for John Stadtmiller, the National Intel Report. I've got Rob Balsamo, my special guest, on the line. Stick with us. This is really good. CN3 at Republic Broadcasting.org.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
We're back. Michael Herzog with the National Intel Report, sitting in for an ailing John Stadtmiller. And I've got my special guest, Rob Balsamo, on the line. He is with the Pilots for 9/11 Truth. We're going to field a couple calls here. I'm going to go to Carrie in Louisiana. Carrie, you're on with Michael and Rob.
Yeah, hi, I'm here.
How you doing?
Good, man. Hey, Rob, what's up?
Hey, Carrie, how are you?
Good,
that's,
man.
My buddy Carrie, I guess.
Ah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad y'all finally got Rob on Stadtmiller's show. I've been calling to several radio shows, because if you've watched if you want, I'll send you a DVD of Pandora's Black Box Chapter 2.
Oh, I can't wait to watch it. I was just talking off air while at the commercial with Rob. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, it's a major smoking gun, just as good or better than Stephen Jones's paper about thermite and all the rest of that stuff. I mean, it's the scientific stuff. It's, you know, this is what the NTSB released. This is what it shows. These are professional pilots who know how to interpret the data. 757 didn't hit the Pentagon, and it does not match the official story. And then you get all the other stuff behind it, you know, why people like April Gallup, who worked at the Pentagon, saying she heard explosions and smelled cordite. You know, where's the body of a 757 if that's what hit? You know, the list goes on. It just opens a whole lot of questions.
Not only that, I don't mean to interrupt you, Carrie, there's also two Pentagon police officers that could, now in this flight path that the NTSB provides, okay?
Right.
You really have to see this, Mike, because it's going to blow you away. The flight path is north of the reported flight path or the quote-unquote official flight path,
mm-hmm.
which means that by it being north of there's a gas station there, a Citgo gas station, and the official report has it coming south of that and it bringing down the light poles and hitting the Pentagon.
Right.
Well, the NTSB data, the plot, the animation that they plot out, it has it on the north side of that Citgo gas station. And that Citgo gas and the major problem with that is when it's on the north side, there's no way it could have hit those poles. So there's a major problem there. Now, the headings, the actual headings that they show in hard data files that we have, it shows that it kind of lines up on the south path. But the actual plot that they plotted shows the north path. I know it sounds a little bit confusing, but we go through it pretty thoroughly in the film. The north path that we've been trying to get answers for from the NTSB and FBI is also corroborated by Pentagon police officers filmed on location, betting their life on it that it was on that side of the gas station.
Really?
Yeah, and that's our brother site, thepentacon.com. That's another film that you'd have to see.
The Pentacon.
Yeah. The Pentacon, yeah.
Okay.
And it corroborates basically the flight data recorder as far as the flight path being north. I mean, right there, it's dead to rights right there that the investigation needs to be open. And, of course, we have in our film on the DVD, and you can see it online as well, we've called the FBI and the NTSB. The NTSB is recorded in the phone call on the film that you could see online and trying to get answers. And so this guy didn't even know. You hear him say, could you remind me, where did that plane hit again?
Unbelievable.
And you hear our rep say, and by the way, it was Jeff Hill at pumpitout.com that did the phone calls, and I'm sure a lot of you
you know, it seems to me like I have heard that phone call.
Yeah, yeah, okay. He does a great job.
Can I join this site? Can I get in there? Is it for
as a matter of fact, I was going to ask you, if you want, send me over your bio information, and I'll put you on the list of core members.
Absolutely. Okay,
yeah,
can I get
we'd love to have
on
you.
your site?
Well, yeah, just send it over via email, and I'll put it up there.
Okay, so, okay, I'll do that.
Yeah, yeah, pilots@pilotsfor911truth.org.
Okay,
And that goes for any pilots, aviation professionals that are listening. Any type of aviation professional that agrees with our mission statement and our research, we'd love to have you. Unfortunately, I know a ton of pilots that have tons of questions, that are very angry, but they don't want to put their names up because they're afraid to lose their job.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, I've had some talks with some guys that wanted to get removed from the list. Because they were afraid to lose their jobs or what have you. And we had to talk about it, you know, saying it's the only way we can get things done in trying to get answers is the more people that stand up to it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree with you 100%.
You know, so, yeah, we'd love to have you. We'd be honored.
All right, very good. Carrie?
Yes, sir.
Are you a pilot, sir?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
But I'm a big fan of Rob's documentary and a big fan of Pilots of 9/11 Truth. Hey, Rob, can you say anything about the next chapter 3 that you're working on right now?
Yeah, we're right now. We, by the way, Mike, we just received the flight data recorder information reportedly from United 93. Now we have the animation for that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I would love to see that one. Yes.
Yeah. So we just recently received it, and we're going through the research now in detail. And there are some discrepancies that I'm already seeing.
No, you're kidding me, Rob.
So And especially, I don't want to get too much involved with it right now as far as on air, because we have to, you know, I want to double cross, cross all my T's and dot all my I's, but we'll definitely be releasing stuff.
All right. We got to go to a break, bottom of the hour. Got another caller coming up. Kerry, have you got anything else?
No, sir. I'll just listen in.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling in, buddy. All right. Michael Herzog sitting in for John Stattmiller, National Intel Report. We'll be back in three with my special guest, Rob Balsamo. You don't want to miss this, guys.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633, on the web, efoodsdirect.com, 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
You're tuned in to the National Intel
Report. All right.
Report.
Michael Herzog is back, sitting in front of ailing John Stattmiller on the National Intel Report. And I've got Rob Balsamo on the line, who is a pilot, and he is with Pilots for 9/11 Truth. Very fascinating interview going on today here, folks. Rob, I've got another caller on the line. You want to go to him?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Let's go to Ron in Austin. Ron, you're on with Rob and Michael.
Hey, Rob and Michael. Michael, you're sounding really good. First time I've been on the air with you, and I just like your voice, and I like your presentation a lot. I bet you recognize my voice, don't you, Rob?
Rob?
Ron Larson. Ron Larson.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Ron, how are you?
Okay. Well, I had Rob on the on a couple of my broadcasts. I'm a host on another network.
Oh, good.
And I'm a pilot also. And the thing I did say to to Rob. I didn't say, hey, get me on that list also. All of a sudden, you'll have my bio anyway, I think. I want to bring up a topic here because, Michael, you asked a really good question. You said, gee, I mean, what do you really think? Who was really piloting the airplane? I want to just throw out something, if I may, Rob, your interview and your talk with John Lear. And the comment there was, had to do with the resetting of the altitudes coming down through flight level 180.
Right.
And what that amounts to, Michael, no doubt you know this since you're a pilot, but
yes.
Going up above 18,000 feet, you said set it to the pressure altitude 29.92, then coming down through, then you set it to local altimeter setting. There are two altimeters on an airliner, and they're set individually by the pilots. Then you're humans, right? And therefore, they're not going to set them exactly at the right time. And they may be, 10 seconds later, 1,000 feet, or who knows what. But it's going to be a different thing. And I think, what was the comment that John made to you back and forth concerning the playout of the flight data recorder simultaneous setting?
Yeah, it was a very good point that he made, that both the captain and first officer's altimeters were set on the descent to the local barometric pressure, for basically coming into an airport. You know, when you descend, as Ron was saying, you need to set to the local barometric pressure so you have it on your altimeter, so you have the correct reading above sea level on your altimeter for the pilots to read. Well, both of these altimeters were set almost simultaneously coming down through 18,000 feet. And, you're thinking about Hani Hanjour, who's probably never flown above 18,000 feet in his life, if he really had what was reported, which I can't even see how he had that because he couldn't even speak English to pass all those tests. We cover that on the film as well. But who else was in there setting the altimeters? Not only that, but there's a blatant cover-up between the animation and the hard files. We have CSV files, which are comma separated values file, basically an Excel spreadsheet.
Well, gentlemen, can I insert something here?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Hani Hanjour, you cannot fly at over 18,000 feet unless you're IFR rated. Okay. And
well, yeah, that's true.
Right, and so Hani Hanjour wasn't IFR rated.
I think they do report him as commercial instrument multi.
Really?
They do.
Was supposedly the one that had the most experience out of all the pilots, but yet he was refused to rent the 172 because he couldn't control it. He barely knew what, they report him as a commercial multi-instrument rated pilot. And we have instructors testifying that he barely knew what the instruments were there to do, that have flown with him. And he's been refused to rent an aircraft. He's been refused to fly solo at numerous different airports in Jersey and I think another one down in Florida. I'm not sure. I'd have to double-check that. But it's just unbelievable that this kid, not only that, but he couldn't speak English. When he went out to that training out at Jet Tech, Peggy Cheverett, the flight school manager, was saying, she called up the FAA and said, hey, she called him up five different times and said, hey, I don't think this kid has the skills of a commercially rated pilot. You guys got to look at him. Not only that, but he can't speak English. Now, as we know, as pilots, you have to pass three written tests,
yep.
The private instrument commercial in English,
right.
And I covered it.
Hello? Did we lose him? Are we still on?
Yeah, I think it was my cordless. Sorry about that.
Okay. Go ahead, continue, Rob.
You have to pass three written tests in English with a passing grade of 70 or better. You have to get into an oral examination, a verbal test with an FAA examiner sitting down with them. I have some really bad tones coming across.
Yes,
you go through that? And I'm on a hard line now.
Yeah, Ron, are you on a cell or a wireless? Hello.
I just turned off my my cordless.
Boy, there's some really weird stuff coming in here.
Hey, listen, I guess people don't like us talking about this.
That
man.
Could be. This has happened before. When you get really technical on information, that could, you know.
I understand that. I've been dropped.
I'll be right back, fellas. Let me check something, okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, hey,
Michael.
I was talking to somebody else here, trying to concentrate on two people at the same time. Yeah, that's what's a fascinating thing. What Rob didn't say directly was the following. There's almost a conclusion there. By the way, I'm a scientist also. I'm very, very meticulous about drawing conclusions too early. Mm-hmm. You know, I just make a hypothesis, and that's it, and I'll move it
forward. Right, you gather all the evidence and analyze it before you make a conclusion.
Well, yeah, but it takes a long time. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You do a hypothesis, add more data, what experiments do I need, check that out, refine the data, keep on doing the hypothesis. So it doesn't go bang like that in any way. There's an implication of this whole thing. The cockpit's pretty wide. This would mean that Hani Honda would have to simultaneously set the pressure settings on the altimeters at the same time. Insane. And what John Lear said in that interview that they had an interview together on the phone, he said that, you know, Lear said, he said, I have 18,000 hours in the air.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a real, real, real pro. And he said, you know what? I forget it lots of times. And I'm down at 17, 16 or whatever it is. You know, my co-pilot may have been on the money. So he said, that's just from a probability standpoint, it's a real tough deal.
Well, no, I agree with you. And, you know, just like Rob was saying before he got cut off, is like you have to pass three separate tests. And there's an oral interview. And we're not talking about they're going to ask you a few questions. They're going to sit down with you for a couple hours, and they're going to throw questions at you out of a book that's about, an inch and a half to 2 inches thick.
Yeah, the FARs.
Right.
The FARs, Federal Air Regulations, sure.
Okay, we got Rob back. Rob,
you back?
Yeah, I'm back with you.
You flew off for a while, yeah.
Yeah,
hey.
It looks like my DSL modem was giving me problems.
Okay, well, anyway, you were talking about the examinations that they have to give.
Yeah,
so
they have
continue.
To take those three written tests, like I said. They have to take three verbal tests, oral tests with an FAA examiner, and then get in the airplane and take three more tests, private instrument, commercial. And plus, this kid was reported to have a multi, if I recall correctly, as well. So that's four. And Peggy Chevrette said this kid couldn't even speak English well enough to have that. So she called up the FAA five separate times to a John Anthony, which we've been trying to get a statement from him and track him down, of course, unsuccessfully. But he has said that, why don't you guys go ahead and get a translator for him so he can finish up training?
Oh, God.
That's completely illegal. So, you know, basically what Peggy was trying to do is what the FAA normally and standard procedure is, that they take them up for another check ride, regardless of which is a flight test, regardless if he needs one or not, basically if he's applying for one or not. So, and it's called what's called a 709 ride. That's the number that the FAA uses.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't even attempt to do that. They attempted to get him a translator so he could finish training, and that's completely illegal.
Well, you want my opinion of who Hani Honjur was?
Sure.
A patsy. That's all he is.
Sure.
Okay, Ron, you got anything else? We've got other calls coming in, buddy.
It's good to see you again, Ron. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you too, Ron.
Thanks for the call, Ron. Okay, let's go to George in Florida.
Bye-bye.
George, on with Michael and Rob. Hello, George. Hello, George.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, good. How are you, George?
I was down at a 9/11 truth thing down in Miami, Florida.
Uh-huh.
We had a retired Coast Guard slash, after he retired from the Coast Guard, he became a hurricane hunter pilot, flying into hurricanes. And he told me that these planes are very well reinforced, better than the hurricane hunters, to take a rated descent at the airspeed that aircraft, a regular commercial jet, would have broken up. Under that speed.
Yeah. Well, he has a really good point. I mean, these aircraft, the 757-767, they're not built like the C-130s, that's for sure, and the P-3 Orions that go hurricane hunting that he's normally used to flying. The 75, according to the flight data recorder, once again, it was doing 120 knots over what's called VMO, which is the never exceed speed. And when you get into that realm, you get into structural failure.
Right.
Basically, what happens is you get what's called control surface flutter. Think of a ribbon tied to your antenna on your car, and you're driving 60 miles an hour down the road on the highway, and it starts flapping in the breeze really fast. Well, that's what happens to the ailerons and the rudder and the elevator when you start exceeding the structural limits of the airframe as far as airspeed is concerned, and you get that flutter out of these control surfaces, and they go a lot faster fluttering than that ribbon on your car antenna. So it starts breaking apart the airplane. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And also, too, they say the plane that hit the Pentagon, they say a plane that size cannot fly that low because there it'd be an air pocket underneath the plane, which not allow it to go that low unless you're coming in approach at a certain airspeed with the flaps and the drag.
I've heard that, I've seen that research before, and I kind of disagree with that, because I know that I can get an airplane as low as I want to the ground at any airspeed. You just push the nose down. But I can see the point that they're trying to make as far as if you're level to the ground and you don't try to get, you don't try to push the nose down to the ground, it's hard to get underneath inside what's called ground effect at those airspeeds. But I've asked people, if they want to go out and find a 757 for me and get the airport to approve it, I'll do the best I can to get them as low as I can, and I'll scrape the cowl of the engines on the ground.
Well, let me insert something here again, though, Rob. If you're flying a 757 at, let's call it 400 knots,
right,
and you're going at 2 or 3 feet off the ground, wouldn't you think there just might be a little bit of damage on the grass?
Oh, yeah, sure. And the other thing is, when you're flying level that low to the ground, you also have to think of trim. And I think Mike and the pilots out there will be able to get this, but and possibly boaters. You have in the aircraft what's called a trim wheel that fine-tunes and takes the pressure off the yoke, off the steering wheel of the aircraft, that that when you push the nose down, there's pressure on the steering wheel. You've got to push it with force, and there's what's called a trim wheel that you can relieve that pressure, and you can almost, the airplane flies itself. When you push the nose down and get that low, and the lift that's being created, so much, tremendous amount of lift at those airspeeds, we think, and again, we're still trying to get answers from Boeing. Of course, we're unsuccessful so far, and I don't think we're going to get anywhere, but there's such a tremendous amount of force of lift that you're trying to counteract it with pushing the nose forward, that one, he could have ran out of elevator, and two, ran out of trim. So that's one of the impossibilities that some of the researchers are talking about when they're talking about it's almost impossible to get that low to the ground when you've been flying that low to the ground for several minutes or for the required distance or for the distance that it was flying.
Well, Rob, I'll step right up to the plate and say, for the short distance that, they supposedly flew that close to the ground, I couldn't do it. I've got 1,500 hours in the air. I couldn't do it, okay?
Yeah. I mean, it would take me quite a few tries. And as a matter of fact, even in the film, you'll see where I show different, because they made this 330. I'm just backing up a little bit. They made this 330-degree maneuver, doing almost a sightseeing tour of downtown D.C. Meanwhile, you're thinking that there's supposedly a hijacker in this airplane. Why is he making this turn? He's leaving himself open to intercept. There's no reason to make that turn. Why didn't he just dive straight for the Pentagon? So I show different scenarios where he could have hit the roof, he could have hit the other side of the roof, he could have hit where Rummy was sitting, and then I said, but no, they want us to believe that he made this 330-degree maneuver so he could come in and hit the reinforced Pentagon section. So when I was doing that, when I was practicing for it and getting it all lined up, it took me 5 or 6 tries to get it right.
Mm-hmm. So. Anything else, George?
Yeah, well, I'm a student pilot. I'm flying a Cessna,
good for you.
Cessna, And you know what I mean about the trim wheel? When I go on approach, when I start extending my flaps, I have to use a trim wheel just to keep the nose level.
Yeah, exactly. And think of that. Think of coming down in your little Cessna 152 or 172. I don't know what you're using, but think of trying to land the airplane and how much trim you're going to need without the use of flaps, but doing almost 200 knots. Okay,
in a next to impossible.
You're standing on the yoke.
I mean,
you're putting your feet on the yoke, pushing it forward.
I mean, landing an aircraft is just trying to jump on a toothpick from like 200 yards away and land exactly right there.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, landing's the hardest thing I can do.
Well, you'll get it though.
You know what? It's like anything else in this. You know, they repeat a lie often enough, and the large majority of people will believe it.
Well, not so much anymore.
Well, I know, and we're waking up to find out. But the thing is that, you know, people were in shock when that happened. And even myself, I didn't really pay any attention to it. I thought, okay, well, there's something else. And I wasn't awake. I didn't know anything about the New World Order. I didn't know anything about any of this stuff. And it wasn't until, I don't know, about 2.5 years ago, something like that, that I started realizing. Then when I started looking into it, and I started finding out, you know, all of the lies and the deceit. And I mean, there's just literally, and you know this, Rob, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of lies that they told.
Yeah.
You know, but people just freeze up. They don't want to believe it. They live in denial, as my guest on my other show said today. You know, if they wake up and they come out of their denial, then they have to do something. Listen, we're going to take a break. This is Michael Herzog standing in for John Stadtmiller of the National Intel Report. Thank you for calling in, George. I appreciate it. We'll be back in three minutes for the final segment. Stick with me, Rob, okay? You're listening to republicbroadcasting.org.
World War III, rising fuel prices, financial collapse, trucker strike, North American Union. Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, "A penny saved is a penny earned." By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
We're back with the National Intel Report. Final segment with Michael Herzog sitting in for an ailing John Stattmiller. And my special guest is Rob Balsamo, who is on pilots for 911truth.org. And the last few minutes here we have, Rob, I'm going to tell the listeners, I talked to you off the air, and an hour goes by fast when you're covering this much. And we just hit the tip of the iceberg here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to call you back. I'm going to have Rob on my show probably mid to latter part of next week, and we'll take a whole 2 hours with this. Okay, we got about, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes left. Rob, you want to hit any high points that you think you might have missed?
Well, for those listeners out there, do your research. There's plenty of information that certainly would wake up even the staunchest Bush supporters, and I've done that. And Kerry, as a matter of fact, I believe did that with one of his neighbors with our film. Pandora's Black Box, Chapter 2, the DVD covers it all. Flight data recorder research from the NTSB covers the money and cover-up of the $2.3 trillion missing. And we have the rare clip of Don Rumsfeld actually saying it on September 10th. We cover Hani Hanjour. We cover Cynthia McKinney grilling Rumsfeld on that $2.3 trillion missing. Hani Hanjour, we cover the flight data recorder. Shows too high, shows too far north. It's corroborated by Pentagon police officers. And also, any pilots out there, any aviation professionals, rampers, CSR agents, anybody, we welcome them to pilotsfor911truth.org. Just email us and get in contact with us, and we'll take it from there. And we also have the forums up as well.
All right, and that's pilots at pilotsfor911truth.org, right?
That's correct. That's the email address. And of course, you know, you could get that email address on the website, pilotsfor911truth.org.
Right, yeah, okay. Well, great. Yeah, for all the listeners out there that want to go into a little bit or you want to hear more detail about this, then I'm going to have Rob up next week, probably the latter part of the week, as soon as I schedule him. And we'll go into some other anomalies, curiosities, and out-and-out lies about this. It'll be fun, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that'll give me a chance to go in here, peruse around, and get a little more familiar with what you're talking about as far as on your web. Because I know I've been in there, and I have, you know, seen little snippets here and there, like that call to the NTSB by, what was his name, Jeff somebody?
Yeah, Jeff.
Right, and that itself is amusing, just by the demeanor of the guy talking to him from the NTSB.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they're compartmentalized, you know that.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
But they dance all over the place.
Yeah, no comment. And we also have on the DVD as an extra, and I still have to get it up on YouTube, but it's on the DVD as an extra, me talking to the FBI trying to get answers. So that's on there as well.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that'll be a good one. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate it, man. This was a great surprise for me because
me too. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, you're welcome. And now I'm going to go in here and apply for this, I give a bio of my flight time and so forth. Yeah.
Yeah. Just go to the list of members, see how it's laid out, and just send me how you'd like to be presented on the webpage, and I'll get it up there as soon as I can. Also, if Ron, if you're still listening, send me your bio again. We've gotten so many bios. I'm not sure if I put it up yet or not. But if it's not up, send me your bio again, and we'll get it up there along with Mike's.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rob. It's been a pleasure. I'll talk to you again, okay?
All right.
Very
Take
shortly.
Care.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Rob Balsamo, ladies and gentlemen, the pilotsfor911truth.org. What a surprise that was for me. That was a fascinating interview, but it went by so quick. Anyway, this is Michael Herzog sitting in for an ailing John Stattmiller, the National Intel Report. Stay tuned this second hour with Hesham Talawi, who is taking over the second hour of John's show. So I'll see you on my show tomorrow at 2. Have a good one.
It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must
A message for all.